Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance. Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no-goes based on the data you have per LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro, go.
Fido,
go.
Guide,
go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
Jinsey,
go.
Ecom,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the slopes of the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country and in the paranormally active shadow of Mount Rainier, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your hosts, John Almada and Kat Lang.
Today. It's a slightly shorter edition of the show this weekend because we just got back from our Virginia City case. And hello, Miss Cat.
Yes, it is I.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, you've been working hard and you had your own interesting long nights of work, and we were up all night ourselves over in the Virginia City case, and I think we're both probably a little bit under the weather from all the stuff we're doing, but I just got in at 4 o'clock and unpacked the car and threw some evidence onto the computer and took a short nap because I needed it. And so we're just going to do a 45-minute show about kind of the things that happened on our case, and maybe if anybody who knows Virginia City or who has stories about that place wants to call in, you can give us a yell at 646-478-0377. And so that said, what? I'm going to skip the news items tonight. We'll just jump right into this. Unless you have any news items, Kat, do you have anything that's come up this week that's pressing or things that you've heard of in the paranormal world at large?
Well, I don't really have anything of the paranormal, but I did my radio show today with, I was blessed to have Terry Ike Clanton, of the famous Clanton gang from Tombstone, Arizona. I got to interview him on my show. Yeah, it was a big deal. His website is www.hauntedsaloon.com. It's a live television video feed. It's seen in 98 countries, and he's had 1.5 million viewers.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's a very nice man, and I actually connected with his grandfather, Ike Clanton, today, and I'm going to be traveling to Tombstone to do some sensitive work down there.
All right. It
should
be
a good time.
Congratulations. Yeah, that sounds like a great show. I'll have to go listen to it later. Anything else coming up on your show? What's next week?
Next week, I have been requested to just do a show about my abilities, what I can do, how I do it, why I do it, who knows why I do it, but, you know, I do it, and...
it's not for the paycheck. I know that.
Oh,
that
I'd never charge anybody to do this.
Yeah, but, you know, you feel good with what you do, you know.
I do.
Yeah, and it's the same with what, you know, what we're doing here, and the things we're doing with the show and GRI, and I know what you mean. Let's see, there are some things that are coming up. Number one, for those of you who, like me, are fans of the Ghost Adventures show, this coming Friday is the first show of the new season for them. And evidently, I think it's A&E has them signed, correct me if I'm wrong, but they had contracted out 28 more episodes, if I remember right, which is just great to hear because they've been replaying the same eight episodes, which I love. I mean, I love to watch them. I'll watch them any time. But to see 28 new cases that those guys have been sent out to do, that's just awesome. And as a matter of fact, I mean, you know, rolling into what happened on our investigation this weekend, we decided to go where Ghost Adventures crew had been, and we went to stay in the very first place they ever investigated, which was the Gold Hill Hotel, and that's my second time there. And we stayed in the Haunted Miner's Cabin, which is unlike anything I would have ever imagined, with three connected bathrooms in the middle with doors that open both ways and a bedroom at either end, which is the strangest thing. And then a kitchen on top of it. And it's a converted changing room for the miner's entrance, the mine entrance, which is right there. I mean, you go out the backyard, there's the mine that's collapsed in on itself, and there's a fence around the 3,500-foot deep shaft that goes straight down still with two Dodge pickup trucks lying at the bottom of the 3,500-foot shaft, which I just found this out this morning. And we got in there yesterday and dumped our stuff, and immediately we had three investigators all told to start off the day, and two more joined us later in the evening for a total of five. But three of us went out, and we immediately hit a place called Piper's Opera House, which is just, you know, if you've ever been through Virginia City, it's a small little town, but a lot packed in there. And on the main street, the main drag, you think that's all there is. Well, you could turn up some of these streets and find these little gem, you know, type things that are just going on in the background. The beautiful buildings, beautiful architecture. And they had this opera house that we had never heard of. So the gal that took us in there, her name is Vicky. She took us in, and she was used to work as a docent there, and she had connections all through Virginia City. And so what ended up happening, we got in there and were allowed to investigate and go wherever we wanted. And some immediately you get in there, and it really felt just, you know, the standard thing when you go into haunted theaters. I don't know if any of you have ever done it, but when you go into theaters, there just seems to be an energy to those places that stays with them, especially with ones that have live performances. And when we got in there, it was immediately apparent there was activity going on. Everybody felt it, you know, on the team. And when we got moving around, and one of our investigators had an EMF meter that gave off audible signals. And I was talking with the gal who runs the stage production, asking her about things that had happened in the past and making notes. And I got called over, and we heard the EMF meter going off. I ran over. I had my K2 with me, so I pulled the K2 out, put it up next to this, in this spot where she's getting these readings, and it was right next to one of these old, giant old iron heaters, you know, that they have from the 1800s. It's just beautifully preserved, and there's two of them. There's two of everything in the theater. So we are standing there, and we started asking questions, and the docent and some of the other people knew who this ghost was, and were saying, "Oh yeah, that's Pietro," and the guy used to work there, and he hangs out there and to this day. And every time we got talking about him, the audio would spike heavily on the EMF meter that you know, our other investigator had. It would just spike very noticeably and then decay. And then you'd wait a little bit, and you'd say some more things, and boom, it would do it again. And so that was one of the things that happened. That was over, for those of you who may know this place, it's on the stage left theater area on the heater. It's kind of near the audience, near the front. Now, there's other stuff going on in there, and we noticed another thing that happened, which was a rainstorm came in with heavy rain. Go figure. Nevada is supposed to be this dry desert. Well, it rained, torrents for a good 20 minutes. And we looked up, and there was a Christmas ornament that they had, these little Christmas ornaments they'd never taken down. All of them were still except one, and I was the first one to notice this Christmas ornament. It was just sitting there, and it looked like it was being tapped. And I'm looking at it, and I walk over, and I pointed out to all the other people there, and everyone came around, even some of the actors who were practicing, going, "Oh, yeah, we see stuff like that around here all the time," is what they're telling us. And we're trying to debunk it, and we can't. There's no air currents. There was no environmental on. There was the doors were closed to the outside. We couldn't find anything that could explain it. And we didn't have a video camera with us, so we couldn't record it. But we made a note of it, and we're not sure that it's, quote, paranormal evidence, but it was sure interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And we just made a note of it and said, okay. Mm-hmm. On the same side of the theater up to the front, and this would be on stage right, there were, how they have those old-time theaters, they have the different boxes that people would sit in and dignitaries
yeah.
would sit in. Then on what we found out was, though, there was the lower boxes are for the dignitaries to be seen. Then the upper boxes are for the people who are a little more like criminal and who don't want to be seen, but just enough to be seen, but they could kind of duck down and do whatever they wanted. Like they could bring prostitutes up and do these things. They had those two things up there. And the left one is a place where people have reported either being prevented from going in, physically prevented from going in by some entity, or if you go in, prevented from leaving. And so I said, yeah, I'd like to go up there. And so we were taken up an extremely narrow staircase, got up to the top, and I got inside and immediately started getting dizzy and sick. And I'm not claustrophobic. I don't have that problem. I can handle tight, confined spaces, reasonably. And stayed up there a while, and headache, the works. It just wasn't right. And I wasn't sure if there was maybe some environmental thing or bad air or something up there. But whatever it was just very disturbing. And I wanted to get out. Two other investigators, including the stage director who was there, went up. And the same things happened to them. They got kind of sick, and they didn't feel good. And so we're not sure. We're not saying it's paranormal. We're saying something's going on there, and that was pretty odd. Bottom line, there were also pictures that were still going through. We did notice some unusual orbs, and I'm not a big fan of orbs, but because most of the time they're dust. But we're looking these over because they don't look right. They've got some unusual characteristics that I've never really seen before in anything we've caught. So all I'm going to say is we had one unique thing that I think was paranormal, and everything else was odd. And still, so if you ever get the chance to go to Piper's Opera House, give it a look. If you're in Virginia City, because it was strange. It was very strange.
I plan to go there.
Yeah, you really need to, Kat. I think you would immediately pick up on, some of the stuff going on there.
There's a man that was in that opera house. I'm not getting a date. His name was James, and he actually died from typhoid fever. And I believe in the theater he began to develop these symptoms, and they were massive, and they were final. He had not felt
yeah.
good for a while and went to a... it was a comedy, and he was there, and he made it out of the theater, but he did expire. So that may have been what you felt.
Well, it's odd you would say that, because what one thing I didn't say was a story that was related to us about a man who was seen walking through the upper, on stage left, if you go past the booths and out into the audience, there's this kind of a terrace that goes all the way around the entire theater. And on that stage left terrace, half the audience during a performance, and I don't know what the date was, but evidently it was recently, looked over and were pointing out that there was a man that had just walked through the wall, out through the wall on the right, and just disappeared. And everyone saw that from the opposite side. They looked up and saw the motion and saw this glowing, I guess, figure, and he went booking on out of there. And so who knows? That could be related. It might not be. But obviously there are phenomena going on, and the whole town is just full of activity. I mean, we could feel it different places. But what we did also get the chance to do was we pulled a few strings, and we managed to get ourselves into the Washoe Club. And we took the staircase up. They unlocked it for us, and it took about 20 minutes of severe request and begging, and it turned out the owners were extremely nice, and when they realized I had been already promoting their site on our on the GRA website for helping them, they were real pleased to hear that, and there was they were just thrilled that somebody cared about the place. So they're doing a lot of work on the inside. We went up the stairs. There were three of us, and as soon as I was being led by Vicky, and I was second in line, and then Christine was in back of us, and we're going up, and Vicky stopped, she walked and she just stopped just a little bit and then kept going, kind of looked off to the right, and I was right behind her, and I took a step forward, and I got this headache, and I felt really off, and I called it out, and I said, I saw you stop, I walk on the same step you did, and I get this headache. And immediately, I was still walking forward, Christine came behind me, and she said, I'm not feeling well now. And as soon as I stepped on that step, I'm not well. And so all three of us had this same experience. That was the first thing that happened. But it was just an odd, strange feeling throughout the whole place. It felt like you were being watched everywhere you went. And the rooms were immaculate. There was just a lot of it was in obvious stages of restoration. There was a place where I think Christine sensed spirits out on the dance floor, and that she wanted to dance, and she was calling that out. Myself and Vicky actually were exploring the upper section, and Christine's leg is bad, so she couldn't get up there. So we checked that all out, and that did not have a lot of activity. We were actually surprised. It just didn't have as much of a feeling as the first and second floors did. So we descended back to the second floor. And this place, when you go inside the Millionaire's Club, it's the most strange, insane architecture you'll ever encounter. It's like they had no plan. They just made it up as they went along for how they're going to lay the building out. So you're stepping over these strange layouts, having to go through tight, narrow corridors that open up into these bigger ones, and then there's everywhere you look, there's like escape hatches and tunnels. It's the strangest thing. But we get back to one section, and I started picking up, hey, there's something going on here. And so we set a K2 down, and there were three chairs about 20 feet away, and I sat down, and so did Vicky. And I was calling out, and we're both watching the K2, and the K2 lit up twice, and I had my audio recorder running, and I looked at Vicky and said, did you see that? And she said, yeah. I said, just can reconfirm it. You saw that, right? She says, yeah. So what ends up happening is I got up and I was fiddling, looking for my video. I was going to start working the video, and all of a sudden Vicky goes, there's someone touching my knee. And I go, really? And she says, they're squeezing my knee. And I look at her knee, and I said, okay, what now? And she says, it's moving up my leg. And she says, they're comping a feel. and so I looked at it, and she says, what do I do? And I whispered, go with it. So, and I said, just watch me. Go with me. So I started calling out, and I said, this is my girl. You guys leave my girl alone. If she wants you to touch her leg, I get permission if she gives permission. And so she goes, come on, boys, touch my leg. And it kept going. And I was I moved around to her right or to her left, and when I did, I had the K2 in hand, and I had set the video camera down, which I regret now. But I had the K2, and the K2 started spiking it, all the way over, hard to the right, in a building with no power. You know, that area, we had no power at all. Four hard spikes to the right with the K2, you know, all, lighting up the red and all the lights at the same time. And we both witnessed that. And then as soon as those four spikes stopped, then the whole thing quit. And we did manage to kind of coax them back, and it seemed like they were playing with us just as much as we were playing with them. And so it was a real experience. We came out of there just laughing ourselves sick. It was funny. And so we've got the whole thing on audio, and we're going to try to pull off the EVPs and see what we got there. But we did get some names. We figured, I was picking up something like Len or Lenny, and another one named Butch, and I'm trying to think of the third. And it's on the tape. I'll have to call it back. But there's a third one we picked up. So three men, and she picked up three guys standing around her, and she's a sensitive herself. So it was quite interesting. They were quite fresh. So, we finally descended out of there, headed down, had dinner, and headed back to the miner's cabin and began setting up and waiting for our other two investigators to show up, which they did about 10 o'clock. And so we had already been out doing some outside investigations, and were, let's just say this. I had something I've never had happen before. I had gone to the mine, and I had brought these guys some Crown Royal whiskey, and basically poured them a drink, and we had and told them, hey, this is for you guys, and we'll pour you some more. And I have yet to find out how well they liked the gesture, but based on what we were talking about in our last show, it was we went ahead and did that. I walked away, and I just wasn't feeling much, and I walked away, and I walked out towards past another metal building that says Yellow Jacket on it, which is for the Yellow Jacket Mine, which is what we were at. Turned around, and I, out of the right corner of my eye, I saw something moving. I looked at it. I looked directly at it, and I saw not a full man. I saw the bottom half of a man walking with two, both legs and the shoes, and what I saw was basically like dark jeans, like dark blue jeans with dark colored boots, running. And it ran, and it just suddenly winked right out of sight. And so maybe I had a 2-second sighting, and I called that out, and the other investigators came running. And from that point on, stuff started happening. I've never seen anything like that. Half of a ghost. I've spent a long time doing this, and I've only had, up till the last month, I've only had one apparitional sighting. And in the last month now, I've seen two. So I feel pretty fortunate. It's not something I'm expecting every day. I don't go to an investigation thinking I'm going to see things. I'm usually the kind of guy that, gets EVPs, and that's all that ever comes out of it. So I don't know. I mean, what's your impression of that, Kat?
I think what you caught was a guy. There's a guy out there by Virginia City that was involved. It's possible. Now it's possible. There was a man. He's probably 20, 22. He was involved in an accident out there in Virginia City, and I'm going to guess it to be in the bracket of about 6 years ago. And people have seen this man. They've seen him both from the waist up, and they've seen what you see from the waist down. There's nobody that's ever seen a complete person. And I hear that a lot. I've heard it from the groups that I help with my remote viewing skills. Sometimes when people die quickly, they don't know they're dead. Yeah. And so they don't focus their energy on a full you know, view.
Well, that's and I'll agree with you, because what that mine had the disaster where, you know, 32, 38 guys died in a massive fire down there, and it was a grisly thing. And where he was running from was the mine entrance.
It's possible it could be a mine, or it's also possible that the energy level coming out of that mine attracts other dead people, if you will.
Yeah,
energy spirits.
I would agree. So, you know, there's more that's happened, but we're coming up on break, and we're on a 45-minute show only tonight, just because of the lateness of my getting back. But we'll go ahead and take a short break and give everybody a chance to do that thing they got to do. Go pee. And so we'll be back here shortly and talk some more. And I did take a little time to run some EVPs just off a very, very short clip, and did load a few for you guys to hear. So we'll kind of end it out with three EVPs with a preview of the coming. We're going to do a special Saturday show talking about this particular case, since it's just a huge one for us. We really feel good about it. And, you know, we'll bring the best evidence we've got forward, and you guys can hear it and decide for yourselves. So that said, let's go ahead and, you know something, I'm going to look for something that's going to make Kat laugh here. I think this is the one. Here you go, Kat. This is for you.
Oh, God.
It's not just a man,
a big hairy man. Did
they just make it? He's been spotted a lot.
Oh my God, it's a Bigfoot song.
There he goes.
He's got a wonderful soul.
Oh.
And you can smell him from really far. There's a dead one right out back. Yes, he was. He really was. Oh, ain't you a believer?
He's from the freezer.
They found a Bigfoot down in Georgia.
You can take it to the Bigfoot back
here. Oh,
going
Lord.
Back to find.
I'm awake now.
Going back to find.
The whole clan.
They found a Bigfoot still alive.
Found a Bigfoot in Georgia.
And we can prove it.
Something for the computer geeks. Here you guys go.
Crypto! It's in crypto! Crypto come and the crook go home. Sex! Is it safe? It's all safe, pretty safe. It's okay, it's okay, oh.
It's okay, oh.
Like a combo, they won't break code. World gets small when the internet come.
Online come and we shop from home.
Download the software till the morning's done.
I've done that.
Come and the hard drive full.
Punch in my credit card, order me a dancer.
Dancer come and the G-string go.
Come, Mr. Businessman, join in the bonanza.
Shopper, come and the overhead slow. 5650 is a great big punch. Crypto, come and the crook go home. 128 bit, even harder to crunch. Cracker, try, but he just grow old.
Crypto, it's in Crypto.
Cryptos come and the cash can flow.
Set. Is it safe? It's all safe. Pretty safe. It's okay. It's okay. Oh. Crypto come and the crook get born.
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
That's right.
This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com.
Okay, we're back. So you like, did I get you to snort this time?
That's like twice. That is enough.
I think I saw something in the chat room. I saw Doc John out there. Hey, Doc, it's good to see you, man. We'll see who else is out there. Who we got? Disgruntled Dan. Hey, Dan, it's good to see you, man. Don Daly's out there. I've seen you before. Guest 6847, guest 7147, and somebody named Hey Cat out there. So, hey, guys, great to have you aboard, you know, for this Sunday evening show. And hope everything's going good for everybody there.
I was telling Don I'm going to the Virginia City myself, but I'm going alone because my friends, they're my friends checking out. So usually I'm going by myself.
We're bringing GRI to your assistance on that, okay?
I got it.
GRI will be there for you, so.
I got it. I'm good.
Okay. Well,
I'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
We're back, and we're talking about this case that we went on just last night. Went through a kind of not quite following what our friends at Ghost Adventures did, but we intersected some of the same places they had been. Went out and stayed at the Miner's Cabin at the Gold Hill Hotel, which is the oldest hotel in Nevada.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is. It's actually the oldest hotel there. So
wow.
We went in there, and that Gold Hill, at one time, when we talked with some of the people living there, had roughly 20,000 people there during the height of the silver and gold rush there. And the whole area at its very peak had 40,000 people all toll, doing mines everywhere. And it's extremely dangerous to walk around out there. There's a lot of undiscovered mines and shafts that people have just suddenly been out riding on four-wheel drives and disappeared. They've been on the four tracks and things like that. We were told about a case where a couple of kids fell into a 700-foot shaft here not too long ago. And some of the shafts that are out there are 7,500 feet down. So, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that these guys were, these miners were really digging in deep and long and not doing a very good job of covering things up. And then it just gets covered over with a small amount of debris, and then people fall through when they step through. So we were encouraged not to go too far off the beaten track, which we basically kept to that. But we did go down when things started getting dark. We went ahead on down, and it was myself and Vicky went down a particularly steep grade to a second mining area that has these buildings that are all just in pretty much the condition they were when they were left in the 1800s. And there's still, windows and doors and things that are all up. And these things are high up, some of them. They're, 100 feet up on these giant timbers. And this stuff is all still there. And we were pointing lights at it and talking, and I had the EVP running, and I was calling out. And Vicky and I happened to look up at this one spot. My attention kept getting drawn to this one section up ahead of us in this building that was way up high, to this door. And I kept looking at it, and it looked like somebody was holding the curtain open. And I'm looking, and I'm commenting to Vicky, saying, is that thing being held open? About the time I said that, this inside the building, from behind the curtain, this luminous orb thing, and we both saw it. It was inside the building, went floating through right past, and it was not an orb in the common sense. This thing was like oblong and maybe had rays of light slightly shooting out of it. It seemed like it was kind of slightly luminous, and it just went tripping through from left to right and disappeared in the building. And then we saw the afterglow of it as it faded out. And I said, did you see that? And she said, yes, I saw that. And so we had yet another, you know, experience where two investigators saw something. We don't have the physical proof, but we had an experience. And so we looked at that and made a note of that and said, yeah, that's something we're going to bring up to the owners and see if anybody else has had that, reported that out there, especially at that spot. And so we have photographs of this, the, that particular location. It was extremely odd. We did take the time to go ahead and go back, and we got everybody together. By that time, we'd had our other guests come in, and they were brand-new investigators, first hunt. And they pick a place that really had a lot of stuff going on at the time. And they were pretty excited about it all, and we took them out and gave them their first EVP experiences and things. But we went ahead to the mine entrance where the disaster had basically played out, and got out our bottle of booze for them, and poured some whiskey for these boys, and had a little ceremony, and thanked them for what they went through, and you know, what they tried to do, and were sorry that they passed there, and set that out, and we set some EVP recorders out, and in a number of strategic spots to see what we would get. So we're sitting right now on about 40 hours of evidence, and we're not going to get it all done in time for the show here this coming Saturday, but we'll get enough that, yeah, we'll focus on the areas we think we got the best hits, and we'll see what we get.
Right.
We did try some video. We tried some video of a more whiskey inside the building, and we noted that we were hearing men's voices outside too. When when it all got real dark and we all came in, we were all talking, we started hearing men's voices, and they were very indistinct. You catch a word or two, but you couldn't tell quite what they were saying. And two of us were hearing that, and it just kept on happening, and you'd be talking and you'd have to stop and you go, what was that? And either myself, you know, or Vicky would basically say, those are voices. We're hearing voices out there. And so we think that we got great EVPs, because if we were picking up something like that, the drop recorders may have picked this up. So there was a lot going on, and I really believe we've got a lot of great stuff in the can on this one. I mean, if you were to do some remote viewing on that whole area around that building, Kat, what would you come up with?
I actually, for that building, I come up with it's a bordello, and there are it's a very busy atmosphere. There's men coming and going from the mines. There's actually one miner that was in this place that what I see is he's actually married, and he got caught there.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that happened a bunch. I agree.
And there's a conversation that you hear with a bunch of men. It's a business deal type conversation that they're having about some a gold vein that they believe they found. It's a business type. What are we going to do? You know, this is where it is. It's a planning type conversation. It's an excited conversation, so the energy level is high enough to where you can probably pick it up.
Yeah, well, we've got three EVPs that I grabbed real quick off one of the first sets we did, which is about a 3-minute just, you know, probing, which we did when we first got there. And I'm going to just kind of fire these off in rapid succession. So this one is Lonnie. We think we got the name Lonnie here. And I had to boost it a bit because it was kind of faint. So let's just see if that works and if you guys can hear this. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, it's a very faint one. I'm going to take it up to maximum boost. But it's definitely there.
Yeah, I hear it. Lonnie.
Yeah. So it
almost sounds mechanical.
When you listen to it in person, it sounds like a woman's voice. So we're not sure. But here's another one. It's called This Is Edward. And this one I think will be a little clearer. Do you get that?
I hear this is Edward, and there's more to it than that.
Yeah, it was. There was a little more to it. I didn't clip all of it out. He was going on, and I couldn't quite tell in the short time. I didn't have the time to analyze it all. I'm going to take it up to 200%. Actually, let's take it the full distance. We'll go to 400 and see what we get.
Yeah. Okay, the second half of that is, you were right.
Oh.
It says you were right.
Okay.
You were right.
I'll go back and listen to that, and that's good.
Okay, so what that tells me right there, that little conversation, just cements what I was just talking about. You have what you have is two women that are standing, and a man walked in the door, and one of them said, "There's Edward," and the other one said, "You're right."
Yeah. Okay.
That's exactly
well,
what
we
that
got
is.
It, and there was we had another one that was very clear. That was. You know how you get the EVPs where it sounds like a man's voice and it transitions to a woman's or vice versa? It just has that kind of a, it just seems to shift on you. This is one of those, and we call it wait on. So I'm just going to play it, and it's pretty clear. Here we go.
Wait.
I mean, it was just, it was none of our voices. I'll play it one more time. I'll boost it just slightly. Here we go.
Wait.
Wait a minute. Break. You know what? It's not wait. It's break. Break on.
That on sounds like a child.
Yeah, and there was no, and there has been some discussions about children, some child ghosts in the area, and I got to get more on that. But that is, that's a good observation. There's definitely some children around there. So, and what was funny is before we left, we were directed to go to the bookstore in the, as I was checking out, the bookstore next door has a photo of something that just was recently duplicated again unknowingly by another photographer. There was two photographers. One originally got this photograph and gave it to the Gold Hill. Another one recently duplicated the same photo unknowingly, and this was only on film cameras. And it's the entrance to the bar section, which is the old section of the hotel. You look out, it looks out through the door, and here's a cowboy, a transparent cowboy, walking in. And now two separate photographers, not knowing one another, have the same photograph. So we're hoping to get a copy of that maybe and be able to put it up and show it around, because it was just such an interesting catch, you know, to see there. But we took a lot of photographs. We did a lot of work out there, and it was a huge, huge case for us. So we're going to be just working it, and we got a couple of minutes left in the show. Kat, you got anything you want to say, or you got anything coming up that you want to talk about?
Well, I'm headed to El Dorado Days in Tombstone, Arizona, October 16th, 17th, and 18th. And I'm also doing Clanton Days out there in November, and I'd certainly like to go to Virginia City, and if you guys want to tag along, that'd be great.
Okay. Well, we'll look at that.
Doesn't matter.
And,
I know my friends chicken out because I scare them.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that. And I've got, we got our trip to Bodie coming up. We're going to be doing an overnight trip to Bodie. We're going to be staying in a hotel there that's just outside the Bodie State Park that is has a ghost that likes to play tricks on people.
That's
so
right.
We may even try to do the show right from there and during an investigation. So that's still kind of being worked out. But a lot on our plate. The GRI site, it has all of that information on that. So you could go ahead and you know, pop on out there, see what we got going on. We're going to try to open some of our hunts to folks a little bit down the road, making some changes around and some of the way we do things. But we just really appreciate all you guys always listening in and being there for us. And a big hello to Carla Hicklin. We kind of miss. We miss our girl. Oh yes, yes, yes. So come back to us in good health. Oh yes. And so yeah, we do miss her, and we just want her to, you know, get better. We know she was having a little health challenge there. So
yeah, talk to her today. In fact, she's doing good.
Okay. Well, we got 15 seconds left. So That said, thank you all, and we'll see you on Saturday at about 8 o'clock for a 90-minute show. And God bless everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That was a good show.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, yep, so I'm gonna go ahead and call it a night there, Miss Cat.
Right.
I just need to get some sleep. I am bushed. So,
well, if you want to tag along to Virginia City, that's great.
That would be good. We could bring some gear that would be helpful for you. If you want to have access to some video and audio gear, we can certainly scare that up.
I don't know how to use it, so.
Well, we'll just bring it up and support you, you know, and who knows? You know, confirmatory evidence, anything that come up, so we'll do that. So, anyway, I'm going to scat and hang it up and go up and grab some coffee and then maybe just settle down a little bit because I'm still feeling the effects of all this. So,
okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay. Take care of yourself.
You too.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.